Let us pray. Ascended Christ, we worship you. Christ present with us now, we ask for your spirit to make us brave in following your way. Reign as king in our hearts, and in the foolishness of the divine love, make us wiser than the ambitions and power games of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My grandson Jacob, when he was a little boy, he's not so little anymore, he's going to be 13, he always loved balloons. And he would get his mom to take him to the local dollar store, and then the fun would begin. Of course, the thing with Jacob is he would have trouble making a decision as to what color he liked. And I remember distinctly on one occasion, he chose two brightly colored balloons. I can't remember the color. And the clerk attached a beautiful ribbon to it and then made a slip knot that fit perfectly around his wrist. And he proudly walked through the mall in Comox, exclaiming to everybody who made eye contact that he was the owner of the balloons. And he was warned that if he took them outside without tying them on to someone or something or keep them on his wrist, that they would float away. After every balloon purchase, he was reminded to keep them in the house. However, inevitably, he would take them outside, and before you knew it, he would let go of the ribbon, and away they'd go. The one time that sticks in my mind is when he let go of the string. We both looked up at the sky as the two balloons were swept on some gentle breeze. And with his face still turned towards the sky, he asked me, "Grandma, where are the balloons going?" Now, the first thing out of my mouth was, "Well, Jacob, I think they're on the way to heaven." "Okay," he said. "Well, how long will it take for them to get there?" I had no idea, but I'm sure they would get there eventually. And that answer seemed to suffice. And he took his eyes off heaven and asked if I would throw the baseball for him. In both the reading from Acts and the Gospel of Luke, we are given two versions of disciples looking heavenward. Not for balloons, but towards Jesus, who on this Sunday in the church year leaves earth for the final time. And he's gone home to be with his Abba. He has done all that he's going to do. He's run the race. He's obeyed the Lord, and it's time for him to go home. And before he leaves, there are final lasting words intended to bring comfort, to raise up the team, so they will be able to continue the work they have been prepared to accomplish. The resurrected Christ has spent 40 days with his friends. He's eaten with them. He's given them his peace. And he has promised them, and Luke says that they will be clothed with power from high. In both accounts, the disciples were told to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father to equip them with the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, there's a three-peat here, because next week is Pentecost and then Trinity Sunday. They were given the Holy Spirit in order to live a life of purpose on purpose. And Jesus assures them that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. They're not going to go back to their old lives. That same old way of doing and seeing, but instead they're going to receive a new focus, a new purpose for living. Things happen when we have a purpose for getting out of bed in the morning, when we know that the day ahead is filled with possibilities. And I think this has been brought home to us during the COVID lockdowns. I have found that the days just morph into one another. And like you, I have this sense of being in a time warp. Without a clear purpose, we have no foundation on which we can build this promised new life. Without a purpose, how can we possibly make meaningful decisions, use our time wisely, or decide where to best put the resources God has given us? Knowing we have a purpose gives our lives richness and depth. And humans seek and search for purpose and meaning in dubious ways, such as astrology, palm reading, tarot cards, or paying the services of fortune tellers. Human nature desires to know where we're headed and what we're doing here. And I read the other day, without God, life has no purpose, and without purpose, life has no meaning. And without meaning, life has no significance or hope. There's also a Dostoevsky said, without God, everything is permitted. A life lived in Christ, a life lived in Christ is a life lived purposefully. And like those early disciples, we too are recipients of the promise of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in order that our lives will reflect the glory of God. And I was listening to that hymn, and you notice the one we just sang, you know, peace, joy, and love. Those three things. That's why Jesus came. Those same disciples who after the crucifixion were scattered, disillusioned, and in fear for their lives. After seeing the resurrected Christ, were fearless. They were becoming risk takers, willing to give up everything to spread the news that in Christ Jesus, there is hope, there is comfort, there is promise, and there is a purpose for living. And they would face imprisonment, beatings, rejection, and for most, martyrdom. Yet the message never changed. Jesus is alive and lives in you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit. And no one standing there that day, watching their beloved master lifting up his hands as he was blessing them and carried up to heaven, could have possibly understood the significance of that moment. On a promise and a prayer, the disciples consented to become the church. The purpose for the remainder of their lives was unfolding, and the world in that moment was changed forever. And I am sure I would have been, that they would have preferred to keep Jesus with them, building three tents to keep him close, as Peter had suggested at the other raising up, the transfiguration. Human beings can never hold the living Christ down to suit our own wishes. This will never happen. For Christ has entrusted us to continue the work he came to show us. And sometimes we're going to know immediately what we are to be and do. And then like the disciples, we need to go to our Jerusalem and wait. It is in the waiting patiently and in obedience that God prepares us for the action we are to undergo. Action without proper preparation will lead to disappointment and failure. For there's a time to wait on God and a time to work for God. And the ascension of Jesus, from a very interesting biblical scholar, says, remains a mystery, for it attempts to put into words and to describe what is beyond description. But that something happened was essential. And it was unthinkable that the appearances of Jesus should grow fewer and fewer until they finally petered out. That would have effectively wrecked the faith of people. There had to come a day when the Jesus of earth finally became the Christ of heaven. And up until that very last moment, the earthly Jesus continued to inspire, reassure, and bless his friends. That last image of Jesus was blessing his friends. He knew how difficult life is, how temptation can turn us from our purpose. He knew how we can be fearful and anxious, disillusioned, and lack joy. Yes, the ascension is an ending and a leaving. It always involves moving from one stage to another. I read the other day, the point of today's commemoration is simply and profoundly this. Wherever life happens to take us, Jesus has led the way. Whether it is a major vocational decision, how to navigate a broken relationship, or just trying to figure out where to find some love and solace in a brittle world, we can always see the best way forward. Jesus led the way. Life itself offers few, if any, certainties, except, of course, that each one of us one day will die. And as we make that journey toward the mysterious edge between life and death, We don't know with any precision, but can be confident in this: Jesus has led the way. Yes, I do want to touch his cloak in real time. And yes, I do want to hear him say, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." I long to see his eyes looking at me and never doubting that the Lord made my heart so he knows everything about me. The ascension is a beginning, Luke tells us. The disciples did not leave the scene emotional wrecks. They left with great joy, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And now the Lord would never leave them. He would never again be separated from them. For we know, Paul writes, that nothing in life or death can separate us, you and I, from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The heavenly Christ has all the power and authority of heaven and earth. He now transcends time and space, mass and matter, and he will never abandon us. For God seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and in every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. It's almost, as author and priest Barbara Brown Taylor writes, as if he has not ascended, but exploded, so that all the holiness concentrated in him flew everywhere, flew far and wide, so that the seeds of heaven were sown in all the fields of the earth. The ascension gives us the certainty that we have a friend, not only in earth, but also in heaven. And waiting in heaven is this same Jesus who was so kind and compassionate on earth, and who is the same in the heavenly kingdom. What a priceless treasure to know that when we leave this earthly tent, we go into the light of his presence. We go to him. And while he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." God's plan of salvation is not haphazard or without purpose. As the writings of Moses and the prophets pointed the way to Christ, God's promise and purpose points us to the day when Christ will return in glory. We don't know when that is, for it is not us to know the time or periods that the Father has yet set by his own authority. Our only purpose in the whole scheme of things is to be witnesses by how we live our lives in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Vancouver, in Powell River, in Gibson's, in Seashell, wherever you are, in Calgary. We can live out this purpose as believers in the Church of the Living Christ by keeping our focus on eternity, where our true home lies. Keeping our eyes on eternity will color in a good way our relationships, our tasks, and our circumstances. Because we're going to know, we no longer concentrate on building an earthly legacy, but we live our lives concentrating on an eternal legacy. Because we're going to spend a lot more time in eternity than on this side. And the more we know God, and this is so true, the more time we spend with God, the less time we spend fretting about the small stuff. For God's plans endure forever. His purposes last eternity. Psalm 33. And our lives are fleeting, like puffs of wind. Isaiah writes, they wither like the grass. What this broken and weary world needs right now is not timidity or shyness from faith communities, and certainly not any more fear, but great courage and boldness. So let us live our lives filled with the promise of the Holy Spirit, whose fruit ripens in our life, in our hearts, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let our lives reflect the purpose for which we have been created, to love each other as he has loved us, to help others to do the same, to introduce others to Christ and sometimes use words, to deepen fellowship, to grow to maturity in Christ, and to go into the world proclaiming that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let us pray. Lord, you have given us spiritual wisdom and insight so that we might grow in our knowledge of you. Flood our hearts with light that we may fully understand the confident hope you give to your holy people. With the eyes of our hearts open, we may come to know the greatness of God's power in Christ. For your Son is seated at your right hand, far above earthly rule and authority. And you put all things under his feet and have made him head over the church, his body, which is full and complete in him. With grateful hearts, say boldly, thank you. Amen.